Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Sometimes when you are driving in town or on the freeway, you might find yourself behind a wide gasoline tanker truck. And on the back of the truck is posted, "Caution, contents flammable." Today's gospel needs a warning label. Listen with care. This gospel drops us into a conversation that began in the previous chapter. Now, sometimes we enter a conversation midstream. Do we listen with care? We walk up to a group at a party or here at church, and it takes a moment to figure out the flavor of the conversation. Now, in this scene, Jesus is involved in a tense conversation. He is addressing four combustible topics: the question of evil, the question of culpability, who or what is at fault, the issue of divine judgment, and finally, a story about waiting and grace. These topics are highly charged then and now. The situation is volatile as the crowd confronts Jesus. Because they had changed the topic, they did not like Jesus telling them they were clueless about reading the signs of the times. So they defended themselves by demonstrating how politically savvy they were, recounting two situations that were making headlines. They cited the recent examples of unjust tragedies, the slaughter in the temple, and the death of the 18 when the Tower of Siloam fell. And like the crowd around Jesus, we too are shocked by unnecessary suffering and death. Jesus listened, but did not give a comforting pastoral response. He didn't dwell on the two tragedies, but instead confronted the underlying issue. And this is where sparks could fly. Jesus challenged them. Yes, those were tragic events, but the real issue is how you judge. You are assuming that those who died must have sinned, done something absolutely horrible to die the way they did. Jesus nailed them. But I feel for the crowd, because we often wonder why something tragic happens that does not make sense. We wonder why evil happens. Doesn't God care? And so we ask, consciously or unconsciously, are the bad things that happen to us our fault? Do we deserve them? One of our parishioners in the hospital said just yesterday, God doesn't care about her, and that she must have done something evil to be so sick. So the feelings we express go back to the time of Christ and beyond. What did I do to deserve this? I don't need this right now, God. We express our feelings. We somehow want an explanation. Who or what to blame? We assume cause and effect. Jesus assumed this was behind what the crowd was asking of him also. He addressed the issues of their misfortunes, their underlying assumptions of evil and culpability, but he addressed them with this message: tragedy is not a punishment for sin. God is not causing evil or suffering. Do not assume tragedy is related to God punishing you. But this is a tricky explanation because Jesus actually points fingers and says, but unless you repent, you will all perish like they did. Now, for me, this is confusing and scares me. Am I going to be struck down because I have not repented? In this gospel, we are dealing with highly combustible material, the problem of suffering and evil, guilt and justice, not jumping to conclusions. What are the answers? The answers do not seem to be very straightforward from Jesus. But the consistent message in all the Gospels is this: God cares about how we live our lives, treat each other, and we are held responsible for our actions or lack thereof. Which leads me to the story of the fig tree and my dying geranium. Just yesterday, I cut away the dead branches of a geranium that was looking rather pathetic. I had ignored it for quite a while. I hadn't added any Miracle-Gro in a year and had not been watering this potted plant regularly. And the geranium suffered for it. It looked rather sad, but it wasn't the geranium's fault. It was my fault. In the gospel lesson, the fig tree has been unattended, no fault of its own, and therefore had not produced any fruit for 3 years since it had been planted. Now, God is a peculiar gardener. God wants to refresh our sagging souls. God wants the hardness of our hearts to be irrigated. So we need to open our eyes and look honestly at the assumptions we have about ourselves, other people, our church, our government, and our fragile world. Not only that, God looks at us and says we need manure. We need spiritual food. Manure might be considered a waste product, something to be thrown away. But God does not waste anything. Suffering can produce endurance, which can lead to compassion. As our second reading states, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. When we use manure around a plant, transformation and growth takes a long time. It will be the same for us. In Judeo-Christian thought, the fig tree symbolizes knowledge. Spiritual knowledge, wisdom, and understanding take time and effort to acquire, and they need to be fertilized by God's grace. So in this gospel, Jesus is implying, just don't sit there in your pew. We are challenged to cultivate our very own souls before, during, and after Sunday morning. We are expected to bear fruit. Lent is the time to do a spiritual inventory on the health of your soul. Do you feel dormant? Are you wilting? Do you need some spiritual manure? Listen with care. God is patient with you. Be patient with one another. It is easy to look out and not so easy to look within. So Jesus is saying to all of us today, you know what? You are not perfect. Are you willing to repent for your mistakes? Are you willing to change? Now, this word repent to me is a combustible word, a word we do not fully appreciate. We might even call the word repent old-fashioned, not current theology. But repentance involves the life of the Spirit within us, the life of truth and love. Repentance is as necessary now as it ever was, because real repentance is simply a conversion, a change of heart. It is being ready to admit responsibility for our actions and our need for forgiveness. A dramatic Hollywood example of this is the 1986 movie The Mission. Captain Mendoza killed his brother in a fit of jealous rage. He decides to do penance, to repent. So he begins to climb a dangerous cliff, dragging a huge bundle on his back. In this bundle are all the weapons of his former life when he was a mercenary and a slave trader. Leaning over the cliff, watching this ordeal, are the South American Indians, the very tribe he used to capture and sell as slaves. He is relieved of his burden when one of the Native American Indians takes a knife, and instead of killing him, as the viewer and perhaps Captain Mendoza fears, cuts the rope. The cut rope of the heavy burden is forgiveness. God is seeking us to be instruments of forgiveness, of hope, of truth, and of love. God is digging around our roots so that we will flourish and grow up spiritually. Just like the crowd that surrounded Jesus, let us not be daunted by the headlines of our day, but focused on the good choices and the good work right in front of us. With this gospel, we have once again opened up the flammable Word of God. And each time we do this, whether here on a Sunday morning, with others in a small group, or alone, the Holy Spirit wants to use our words and our work to kindle the fire of faith in others. So let the burning love of God be rooted ever more deeply within you. Amen.